Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And how far down the news scale do you have to go before you start reporting about people being killed in Ohio? Like anyone would even notice. Is it like anybody was like we were all looking around? Does it seem like there are fewer people from Ohio than there should be today?
Nobody even noticed it. The hamburger helper purchase numbers were down.
There was that, and the two big stories today are what somebody got shot in Ohio, or I guess a few people, and then what, there's a child kidnapping in where? Delaware?
In Montana or something.
Indiana.
Like
all right. You know, I bet those states are just so glad when nothing's going on in the rest of the country because it's, you know, it's not even tertiary. It's like seven layers deep in the news story. All right. Hey, it's 3 minutes and 12 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of November in the year of our Lord, 2003. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from the studios of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK, beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, still festooned with the carnage and wreckage of yesterday's Thanksgiving feast. It is Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. We are here, we are live, doing our annual post-Thanksgiving show, because Rick Emerson cares. We've got the... Man, I went in the kitchen today. You can tell that there's been some fire-ins, by the way, because there's not enough people here to eat all the food that was left over. Normally, you know what it is? Normally, it's just like... Do you ever, like, you leave something on the floor, like you drop something on the floor of your kitchen, like a grape or a piece of cheese or something, and it's like late at night and you're too drunk or what, you know, too tired to, you just leave it there. And then you come out the next day and the ants have just come out and taken it away. You know, it's kind of a miracle of nature, really, when you think about it. You know, ants are sort of the, you know, they're like the antibodies, so to speak. They're like the lysosomes of the insect world. You can drop whatever. You can drop a ham hock on the floor. You give it enough time, the ants will come out, and they'll just scurry it all away. You'll never even know it was there. So it is with weekenders, part-timers, and board ops at radio stations. Doesn't matter. You could just put a big tub of lard with raisins in it in the kitchen. You get, like, enough days go by, you'll come in, and Steve Taylor and his friends will have eaten all of it.
Mm, the worst part of it, whatever it is, it's always smeared all over everything. They don't eat like regular people.
It's like...
They, like, lick it off the walls after they smeared it
like
on there.
Like three-year-olds eating paste. Just... So, anything you put in the kitchen of this radio station is always gone. Except, and this is the first year that hasn't happened. So, everybody was in... We, I don't know, we had like 40 people here yesterday. There's people, the friends and family, the Rick Emerson Show, just dropping in and out all day. Just food piling up everywhere. And we just looked in the kitchen, and there's a bunch of it still left, so...
Even the ants moved to the new building.
Yeah. In the kitchen, just molding away, which ensures that only Clyde will eat it. So, you know. All right, coming up this hour, we got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, and they've got him, I don't know, in Scott. I don't even know where you go in L.A. anymore. The Galleria Mall is closed, so I guess you go to what, Santa Monica and hang out at some mall there?
Santa Monica's there, Beverly Center. Yeah. There's one in the West Hills.
All right, so he's among the fat sweatpant-wearing people of Los Angeles today. So we'll find out what's going on with him. So that's Jim Roop coming up later on today. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour of the show, Oregonian TV critic Peter Carlin's going to be here. He's going to be in the studio with us today. And later on in the third hour of the show, in honor of this, the biggest shopping and spending day of the year, we have top five money songs of all time. Top five songs about money of all time coming up. It is Friday after Thanksgiving. It is the greatest day of the year that's not Christmas, because it is on this day that I get to start playing Christmas music for each and every one of you. Tim Riley is around the corner in the KOTK newsroom. It's Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Outside a department store, a gang of kids came over and mugged me and knocked my reindeer to the floor. He said, "Father Christmas, give us some money. Don't mess around with those silly toys. We'll beat you up. Don't hand it over. We want your bread, so don't make us a noise. Give all the toys to the little rich boy." My sister a cuddly toy. We don't want
on a jinx or a monopoly money. We only want the real McCoy. Father Christmas, give us some money. We'll beat you up if you make us annoy. Father Christmas, give us some money. Don't mess around with those silly toys. But give my daddy a job, cause he needs one. He's got lots of mouths to feed.
Newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And we're serving up a heap and helping of post-Thanksgiving heartbreak. This story just was on CNN News moments ago. It wasn't a very happy Thanksgiving for a Beaverton family. A turkey fryer like the one we had here yesterday on the family's back deck, filled with oil, boiled over and ignited the propane tank. Firefighters said the blaze quickly spread through the first two floors of the home. The entire back of the house is charred. Luckily, nobody was hurt.
Wait, where were they cooking it at?
On their back deck.
Ah, you can't do that. See, it's gotta be out front where it's all concrete and whatnot.
I cook the one at my mom and dad's every year on their back deck.
Yeah, but see, but the decks are always made out of
your
wood.
Your decks.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, it tips over, you're hosed.
It's not a matter of it tipping over. The problem is, people that haven't ever done it before a lot of times will put too much oil in the pot. And when you put the turkey in there and it starts to boil, like,
you know what it is? It's like filling the bathtub all the way to the lip before you get in.
And then you get in and it all, like, runs over the outside.
Never listen. People in Beaverton never learn.
The only thing left to little Billy's teddy bear is, like, the eyeballs.
That's a terrible thing to say.
But anyway, nobody was hurt. Nobody was hurt, thankfully. And the Red Cross helped the parents and the three children find a place till their home is safe to move back into.
Till there's yet another colorless, drab home in the suburbs that becomes available for them. Until another nondescript hive-like abode frees up somewhere in suburbia.
They might have gone to Marie Callender's, but the power went out there. So, here's another story similar to that, but it's from Minnesota. Therefore, it didn't get national news, but we covered it anyway. His heart was in the right place, but Bill Fickett's good deed went up in smoke on Thanksgiving Day. The St. Cloud, Minnesota man says his wife just had a baby, and he wanted to give her a break from the kitchen. So, he offered to cook the holiday turkey. He borrowed the deep fat turkey fryer and got instructions from a friend and burned down the garage. Nobody was hurt in the fire that cost $14,000 in damage. Fickett said his family still had a nice Thanksgiving dinner. They ate chicken instead.
This is going to be one of those things where it's going to happen three times or something, you know, in December, and then it'll be a national epidemic. Has deep frying turkeys gone too far tonight on an all-new investigative report on K2? And they'll have Anna Song crying in some smoking cinder of a house where somebody was trying to deep fry, like, you know, an elk or something. Something ended up burning down. The deep fryer, and let me just talk about deep fryers for a second, because deep fryers are an endless source of fascination to dudes. Like, I remember working at this place. I've told it, there's a restaurant's not there anymore in Kennewick called, it was called the BBC at the time. And I used to, I was there as a dishwasher, of course, but I worked right next to these big ass, deep fat fryers, right? And whenever guys are bored, especially in a kitchen, they'll just start cooking like anything they could just to see what it is, you know? Just to see what it looks like and see what happens to it once you dump it into the deep frying fat. And I remember this guy, Paul, he had this, I don't know, just, he wasn't really the swiftest guy in the whole world. He wasn't really on top of the world mentally all the time. And so Paul had this idea that he just wanted to deep fry like a whole potato, like not sliced up, like just take a whole potato, except he decided to do it by lobbing the potato in from like 10 feet away across the... It's like when you cannonball into the pool, boom! You know, and the next thing you know, there's some other guy being carted away, wrapped in swaddling gauze around his face. It's a bad scene. All right, let's move on.
Of course, it could be worse. A major sewage line backed up in Hartford County in Maryland, sending... Yep, the raw crap through the walls and into the carpeting of several homes during Thanksgiving. Carpet cleaners, plumbers, and sewer workers were called in during Thanksgiving to come to the rescue. Homeowners Betty Lortz and Bill Hostey were among the people who suffered through the stink during Thanksgiving.
It was just a mess. It just turned your stomach because the odor was terrible.
I just finished cleaning up from Isabel. I mean, the carpet's out now because of that, so...
Kind of a weird, unnerving little laugh that Bill had there.
This year, I'm thankful for underground plumbing.
Seriously.
Well, that Thanksgiving turkey can be enjoyed for several days beyond the holiday if it's properly handled. Home economist Bess Herdewitt says turkey should be sliced before storing, so those turkey sandwiches can be put together easily. The meat should be go for 3 or 4 days. It's good news for us. We'll still have some out on the table in
that
there.
That deep fry is still sitting in. And let me just say once and for all, because I know we poked fun at the... You got over there, Sarah.
Colin from Delight's Cookies just brought us about 20 more.
Oh, Colin, you gotta stop it, man.
These ones are all low fat and fat free.
That's even better.
And they're almost, there's oatmeal chocolate chip.
You know, but that's such a lie when they say it's low. I mean, I acknowledge that it says low fat. Doesn't mean it's healthy.
No, it has the nutrition contents on the front.
Yeah, okay. How many calories
total
are those
fat
cookies?
In the oatmeal chocolate chip is 1 gram.
Oh, that sounds good. I'd like one.
Calories, one cookie, which is huge, is 110 calories.
110.
That's not bad.
Yeah. That's not bad.
At all.
All right. Especially because I was eating those Newman's Own cookies a while back, the size of a little, you know, they're like the size of a quarter, and each one is like 70 calories. Like, you look at the calorie count, serving size, 2.5 cookies. Calories, 340.
They're fat-free cookies, though. Meal ones only have 95 calories.
Yeah, fat-free often means flavor-free as well.
I'm
not saying that's
the
case with Colin. Because Colin, but see, Colin is this guy, just quite out of the blue. I don't know, he just brought us this gigantic tray of cookies, which were just, I mean, it was like drinking.
Phenomenally good.
No, it was like drinking the nectar of the gods itself. It was just like drinking the sweet, you know, the creamy confections of Zeus.
Even the FM people are envious this time. Usually it's the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, fast food corporation McDonald's has been wrapped by British advertising watchdogs for a campaign that trumpeted the brilliant simplicity of their recipe for fries, the humble potato and nothing else. Advertisements show a potato in a fries box alongside the text reads, "The story of our fries, end of story." But public and campaigners say that they're actually part of beef tallow, blown halfway around the world, soaked in dextrose, often contaminated with gluten, and finally drenched with excessive levels of salt.
Gluten's one of those words that I don't even know what it means. I'm not asking anybody to explain it to me, but it's just a word that makes whatever it is sound unappealing.
Well, they always say they'll find a cure for gluten in your lifetime, but you know it's going to kill you in the end.
All right, wait, what is it? This is the fat-free oatmeal?
It is.
All right. This is from.
This may actually be the best fat-free cookie ever.
This is not a paid plug or anything. This is a guy calling. He's a listener. And he dropped off. What's the name of the company? Delights.
Yeah, Delights is the name of the fat-free and low-fat.
Delights.
That's it.
Delights.
Light. All right. All right. Fat-free. Hey, that's a cookie.
Mm-hmm. And it's not dry or anything.
No.
No gluten in that.
No. I'm in favor of this. All right. Excellent. Well done, Colin. Thank you. We'll give the phone number out for that place here in a little while. Here's our Jim Riley.
German police have arrested a shoplifter who aroused suspicion by wading through a supermarket with 177 packs of cigarettes in his trousers. He'd fill his trousers in the truest sense of the word, said one police spokesman. They were so full of goods he could barely walk.
How would you not think that was going to be noticed? going through there looking like you got four different asses inside your pants. How would you? How
would probably wear some of those baggy American slacks like those rap singers wear.
He's got the
drawers hanging down.
He's got the saggy Hagar slacks. He's, you know, just got the freaking bass fishing hip waders going on there.
That's right. No look for an Aryan man. Anyway, the thief in his 20s was helped by three accomplices who formed a protective shield by holding newspapers in front of the man and his bulging trousers. Staff alerted police thinking something was pretty creepy here, who arrested the four as they attempted to transfer the loot into the car. Then from New York comes word a teacher has been arrested after allegedly pulling down a pupil's trousers and spraying deodorant after the child made an odor. Brooklyn tutor Jane Fazzoni was taken into custody after a floral aroma incident at the Hillcrest Park Academy. Oh, so this is a private school. They can do that. Detectives have stated she also sprayed air freshener in the 10-year-old boy's mouth.
What, like Lysol or something?
It doesn't say.
You can't do that. Now you go to a private school, man, and it's like, it's like you're going through the portcullis at, you know, St. Ignatius School for Boys or whatever, and it's, well, you know, you went to the private school, right?
I did.
And it's, you just abandon all hope, ye who enter here, man. You go in there, it doesn't matter. It's like, they probably still got paddling at private schools in this country. I mean, I don't know, because I opted out of that as soon as I possibly could. My parents tried to send me to a private high school. My parents, those of you who are from Washington State know this, my parents tried to send me to Gonzaga Prep, which was this, and thankfully, thank God, my parents' marriage just imploded right around that time, and so there was, like, right about when I was, I don't know, 13 or 14, so my parents' marriage just went right into the crapper, and so they had their own kettle of fish to fry, but man, my parents had to pack me off to a Catholic high school. I mean, God only knows, imagine how freaky and repressed I'd be if I'd had another additional 4 years of, and I think Gonzaga Prep is just for boys, isn't it? Do they even have girls?
That's where we'd actually have our dances when I was in middle school there.
I mean, imagine me in an all-boys Catholic. Why would, I mean, you'd just kill yourself. Why would you even bother to live?
Well, private schools recently in New England just went co-ed, and that was after a huge fight. Because the birth rate, well, among white people went down who could afford to go there, so they had no choice.
No, there's just no way, man. It's like every year when I was going to private grade school and middle school, I would just ask my mom not to make me go back. And she'd, no, builds character. You know, feel like one of those kids on the wall, just, you know, being shoved back in. Living hell.
I'm going to get a cookie.
All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. More on the way, including CNN radio correspondent Jim Root, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Today's Top 5. It's the day after Thanksgiving. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yeah, you know how many times you'd have to kill me before I'd put a Puffy Combs song on any list we did ever, anywhere? Here's Sarah with traffic.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. All right, sometime over the weekend, somebody, and it is to say me, I got to put together the Rick Emerson's Christmas Joy theme or whatever we're going to call that segment. Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas, I think is what it was called. I got to put that together. Because this, I mean, so far, the maimings and the burnings and the killings and the ow, I'm on fire. That's all, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg, my friend.
We're just starting.
Holiday joy to come. We haven't even gotten into the, oh, hey, look at the Christmas tree, it's burning down our trailer.
Well, nobody's tested the lights yet. They haven't even taken out of the boxes yet.
Seriously.
I'm ready.
Don't these cords look a little frayed, do you?
No, don't worry about it.
All right.
All right, now you guys get the candles to put on the tree.
All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. I'm Matt. Knocking over the phone, our man in Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent and man of the world, James Roop. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm decking the halls and being nuts, I guess.
Happy day after Thanksgiving. How was your Thursday?
Oh, it was good, you know. Lots of people dropped by. Got massively drunk. It was great.
I talked to Baumgarten. I think he was about half plastered by the time I talked to him yesterday.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, hey, so where are you at right now? Because we were having this little discussion earlier. The Galleria is closed. So what's the must-go-to mall now in your part of the world?
Well, we have the Media City Center Mall in beautiful downtown Burbank.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Downtown Burbank.
It's nice.
In as much as anything in Burbank can really be considered nice.
Well,
you don't live in Burbank, do you?
Yes, I do, sir.
Oh. Well, let's forget I said that. We'll take that whole part out.
Nothing in Burbank is nice.
No,
I guarantee
I
you
just,
that.
No, the thing about Burbank is, it's like if ever a place did look like the Brady neighborhood, you know, it is Burbank, which I guess is both good and bad.
All the studios are here, so, I mean, you have some decent folk that live here, so they put money into the place. It's not that bad.
I guess I got to tell you, about 90% of the times I've ever gone to Burbank, it's because of my in-laws. And so I just associate it with repressed Mormon, you know, white people. So, you know, what are you going to do?
You know, the Mormon church is right across the street from me.
That's what I'm saying. They're everywhere. They're in, you know what it is? They're just, you know, it's like the Chinese.
I sit out on my front porch on Sundays and drink while they come down.
Good for you. A man after my own heart is what you are. But are you, so what are they, what is it you do today? Do you just sit out there and go, so are you buying stuff? You know, and then people nod and walk away? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I just goof on people. You know.
So what are people buying? Is there like a must? I lost track of the must-have toys right after the Tickle Me, you know, the whatever, the Beat Me Elmo, whatever that was.
Right now there's something called Bratz that people
Bratz,
are buying.
Those little ghetto hoe dolls,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you can get Barbie dolls now, 3 for $10, but they're spending lots of money on these Bratz dolls.
Bratz are those little girls that look, the little dolls that look like, little dolls look like Christina Aguilera, right?
My mom bought me one last year.
Is this what I'm talking? Are these the right dolls? They're little dolls that look like little white girls pretending to be like little Latin girls?
Yeah, I guess.
That's okay. They all like, they got the lip liner.
Yeah.
And everything, yeah.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of electronics, too. Electronics were big this year, so everyone's buying, you know, PlayStation 2, Radio Shack. There's a lot of people in Radio Shack, so there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, it's, you know, the thing about being a guy, let me just tell you this. This is a good time to be a guy. We are living in some sort of a golden period for guys right now because I think, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, there was no, you know, guys didn't use to play video games. It was children who played video games.
Right.
But now we've reached this sort of point where there's a whole new sort of breed, you know, because you hear so much about this. The big thing they talk about this year is metrosexuals, right? That there's guys who, you know, they take on the sort of traits of women, you know, or they're very, you know, they're very feminine, or they're very, you know, they're very sort of hyper aware of their own appearance and whatnot, and that's true. But here's another demographic. Here's another demographic niche that just recently started to exist that I myself have identified. And what it is it's these guys that are like 25 to 40 years of age who are married usually, got a kid sometimes, got a house, but they've just got both feet firmly planted in adolescence. And they're just, you know, and they're out there buying the Xbox, you know, and they're buying like the entire Bruce Lee collection on DVD and stuff. I don't know what we'd call these guys, but I mean, it's, you know, but you know who I'm talking about. Yes, divorce soon to be.
Yeah.
So those are the guys that are out there. It's like, you know, they want the entire Mel Brooks oeuvre or something, you know, on digital DVD, you know, right there in their house.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
So that's, you know, those are the guys that are, you know, because it used to be like my dad, man. He just wanted the same thing every Christmas. Every year, my dad wanted three things. My dad wanted hunting socks, like the kind that are gray with the big fluorescent orange, you know, thing at the top. He wanted a big jar of Planters roasted peanuts, and then he wanted 2 pounds of peanut M&Ms, and that was it. That's all he wanted. He didn't want anything. Maybe a summer sausage from Hickory Farms, and that's it.
That's a man for you.
Yeah, it is. Man, you know, but now it's like, and if you were like, ask Matt what he wants, Matt's like, Matt Marley wants some Xbox game or something over there, so it's, you know.
You know, my wife asked me, what do you want? I don't know. There's nothing I need, nothing I really want. If I need something, I go get it, you know?
And women don't understand this. women don't, because I'm the same way, you know, that she asked me, she's like, well, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, nothing really. And it, because it's by definition, anything I want, I've just gone out and purchased.
Yeah.
You know, if I want, that's how men are. It's like if you, you know, it's like men don't agonize. It's like if you're hungry, you get up, you go to the fridge, you buy something.
Exactly.
You got to take a whiz, you go upstairs, take a whiz.
There you go.
You want something, you buy it.
We're very efficient.
That's what I'm saying. We're just, you know, we're bottom line. You know, you and me, Jim, we're men of the world. We're bottom line kind of men. We're, you know, we're you know, zero sum sorts
yeah.
of men.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, and when she says, well, how about I get you a sweater? Well, I guess what? Can I wear it for 1 week here in Southern California?
Yeah.
You know, just don't buy me anything.
You
and
know,
then I reserve the right to get a pair of jeans when I need it.
I find that, you know, nothing says I love you like cash.
There you are.
You know, cash and, you know. And
just, it's my cash he's going to give me. Just leave me alone. How's that? Let me sleep an extra hour. There you go. Put a bow on my ass. Let me go to sleep.
For the love of God, woman, just give me some peace. Excellent. It's another happy holiday moment with CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. All right, man. Enjoy your weekend. There you go. All right, good stuff. Woman, just let me sleep. That's my grandparents, man. My grandparents were like that. Just, you know, what do you want? I want you to leave me alone. All right, here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. Well, let's see what we have here. We have the Jackson Watch. Well, the man who says he introduced Michael Jackson to the boy, accusing him of molestation, says the child is very ill. Club owner Jimmy Masada said the boy needs a kidney transplant. Masada said he introduced Jackson to the child 2 years ago. The boy had cancer at the time. Doctors are only giving him 3 weeks to live. Masada said he saw the boy earlier this week, and his one remaining kidney is failing. It's not clear what effect the boy's condition would have on the case against Jackson. Stuart Packerman, a Jackson family spokesman, declined to comment on Masada's account. It says, I hope the boy gets better soon. Meanwhile, Michael Jackson's dad, Joe, spent Thanksgiving Day dishing out grub to the homeless at a Vegas soup kitchen. He was asked where his son was.
I know that he's enjoying his Thanksgiving Day, and I'm glad of that. And he's a good boy, and I raised him good. And so I'm not...
When I wasn't horse-whipping him.
With an iron hand.
When I wasn't beating him over the head with a chair and kicking him in the face.
No. Jermaine said they had a good childhood.
Yeah, not eccentric at all. God, we saw, who was it? Was it Tim? We saw somebody was here. We saw LaToya on Larry King. Boy, she's looking freaky too. I mean, and LaToya's always been kind of freaky. But man, she's had everybody in that family's got some weird plastic surgery thing. What is wrong with those people? I mean, I think somebody, you know, that ought to be the next cover of Newsweek. It just ought to say, what in the name of sweet Christ is wrong with the Jacksons? That ought to be, that's the name of the TV movie right there. What is wrong with you goddamn people? Everybody in that family is just friggin' nuts. I mean, that's, can we just say it? Can Time Magazine, the headline, Jackson's all nuts. I mean, Michael is, well, I mean, he's Michael, and then Janet, Janet looks like a weird, Janet looks like a cocoa-colored Lonnie Anderson now.
Yeah, she's not looking too good.
No, it's like, and you know, and here's, okay, let's just for the love of God, when you're a decent-looking person, just leave it there. Just quit tinkering with it. You know what I mean? You know what it is? It's like the House of Cards. You know what it, no, it's not like a House of Cards. It's like...
House of Cards?
It's like a wedding cake. Wait, that's not it either. It's like a garden hose. No? Well, okay, but it's, you know, someday I'll come back and I'll finish that analogy. But my point is this, is that Janet, you know, went through several looks, right? There was Janet on Good Times, there was Janet on Different Strokes when she played Charlene, there was Janet Rhythm Nation where she was all kind of militaristic looking and, you know, with the, you know, she was all, you know, with the black and the, you know, the binding and the, you know, tightly fitting and then there was Janet of the Running on the Beach with the big shiny black man and then there was Janet on the cover of Rolling Stone with the hands and, but Janet went through all the, and then she had this look and it was about that era where she looked really good. There was like this.
But she was natural looking?
Oh, God damn, man. There was a year where Janet Jackson was like the hottest thing ever.
It's actually when she released Janet.
Yeah, she looked so good. I mean, she looked beautiful. But then, you know, but it is, but it, of course it couldn't last. because she just kept whittling away at her face, man. I don't know what that's all about. It's, you know, it's like you're sitting there carving a stick on the you know, porch of the nursing home.
And now she looks like something of a Twilight Zone episode, and you expect Rod Serling to step out with a big smile on his face.
Picture a lizard that's kind of shaped like a human. I mean, that's what it is, man. She's got the little tiny, you know, she's got the same, and she's got the same nose now that Michael has, where it's a little tiny slits. She doesn't much have nostrils, and she's got, like, these alien gray slits carved in the front of her face. It's all very sad.
I wouldn't get one free.
And then the Toya, who was always freaky, and who posed for Playboy, that's why everybody knew her, because she posed for Playboy with that python or boa constrictor, whatever the hell it was. Now she's gotten this plastic surgery, and she looks like Janet did about 2 years ago. Meanwhile, Janet looks like Michael did in about 1985, and Michael just looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy. It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Somebody
what the
says
hell
looks
is
like,
wrong with you people?
Somebody said it looks like Joan Crawford now.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, at a certain point, Michael Jackson and Faye Dunaway have just sort of entered this bizarre world where they're sort of the same person. Just stop. Stop it, please. God.
Then we have Robert Wagner, the former head of security at Neverland Ranch, telling Good Morning America some of the startling sights that raised his eyebrows.
When they want to go to the zoo or the park or the theater, they get on electric carts. Whenever he'd have a boy on the cart with him, his leg would always be touching the boy's leg, and he'd lay his hand on the boy's thigh. Now, this wasn't just one time. This was every time he had a boy on the cart with him. The seat was wide enough that you didn't have to make contact.
For some reason, I don't believe this guy.
I don't even understand what he was talking about there. So they're in a thing. Who cares? All
right. That's today's Jackson Watch.
Jesus. All right, we got more on the way. There's your Jackson Watch for Friday. We'll be back.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here's the traffic with Sarah Dittler.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're here. It's Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Coming up later on in the show, Peter Carlin for the Oregonian is in the house, as the kids say. So we'll be talking to him here in just a short while. We got the top five songs with money in the title coming up later on today. In honor of, what is it, Black Friday?
Yeah, Black Friday.
I don't understand why it's Black Friday. It seems like Black Friday would be the day after.
No, because it's a financial thing. They say that all year long stores are in the red because they're not making any money. Today is the day that stores become profitable, and they're profitable for the rest of the year.
It's
Black Friday.
It's colloquialism. Exactly. All right, that's how it is. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Thanks to your prayers, Meatloaf is feeling a lot better, thank you. Physically... But emotionally, he's still shaken. Meatloaf says his doctors in London have told him he's fine. Hospitalized earlier this month after collapsing during a concert. Turns out he had a condition that causes a regular heartbeat, dizziness, and fainting.
It's called being morbidly obese with big man boobs. That's the condition.
That could be
the condition is weighing 400 pounds and trying to sing operas every night. All right. I'm sorry. Let's welcome now to the
since he can't contain himself. I can't.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show with a heart full of hate and a head full of snakes and looking a little hungover, Peter Carlin, TV critic from the Oregonian. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine.
All right. Are you a little
hungover? That's incredibly hungover.
Right? Are you?
No.
Okay. Because you.
I like that. That's cool, though. Let's stick with that.
You can get sort of a Christopher Hitchens vibe going on. And you
yes.
Sort of slur your words randomly. You're looking younger than ever. You. I think you're aging in reverse or something. What the hell, man?
That's the idea.
You got kind of a... You know what you look like? You kind of look like Henry Thomas, that kid from E.T. Do you think he looks like Henry Thomas from E.T.?
Yeah.
All right, it's just me.
It's hard to say. I've never stood right next to Peter Carlin before.
Yeah, well...
You have, but you were always through the glass back there. I would sort of see your shadow. There was a whole Wizard of Oz type trip with you before because I'd come in, but I'd only sort of see... the shadow of you in the glass sort of gesticulating.
And we're all
and that was it.
We're all in Tim's shadow.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, let's move on to the battle watch.
Here's your battle watch for Friday, the day for Thanksgiving on the Rick Emerson Show.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
Okay, so we know the story behind the story. Why the president had to sneak into Iraq yesterday. I wanted to steal Hillary's thunder because she'd already scheduled to be here today.
You know, it's like George Bush is just some sort of a cloth puppet with Karl Rove's hand right up his rectal tract, just sort of waggling him around in front of the CNN cameras, you know?
He's going to wrap himself in the military so tight.
Well, you know, this is the thing.
It'll be almost like he served.
He found it's almost like he wasn't AWOL for weeks and weeks and weeks on end.
Year, I think it was.
Really? Was it a full year?
It was a full year. He backed out of the last year of his service.
Yeah. Well,
just one last thing. The amazing thing is those records disappeared.
Oh, it's almost hard to believe, isn't it?
this
accomplishes several things, though, because this, first of all, because he got so much criticism about the aircraft carrier thing, you know, yep. I mean, for a lot of reasons. A, that it was stupid and dangerous, and B, that it was grandstanding, and C, that it was clearly just something they were going to wait and roll out, you know, when 2004 came around. D, that it was just like full on faked, because I guess they had to turn it and everything. I guess they had to turn it and then film it from a specific angle so that you wouldn't see San Diego like 14 feet away.
Exactly.
Off the starboard bow. So this has taken that off people's minds, and it steps on Hillary. And it covers up the, you know, draft dodger, et cetera.
The other beautiful thing about the aircraft carrier thing is that when people began to complain about the banner, the mission accomplished, because all these people have been killed since then, they rolled over on the Navy and blamed those guys. It was their idea. Yeah. They came up with the banner.
We had no idea.
Printed the banner. Yeah, but they asked us to. Those bastards.
Anyway, yes, Hillary is eating, well, leftover turkey today on her visit to Baghdad.
We face a very big hill to climb. This is a complicated situation, and there are still a lot of issues concerning security that I've heard about in every stop I've made, starting with the briefing that Ambassador Bremer provided, and that the process of trying to put together self-governance in a relatively short period of time is an extremely complicated undertaking. So
I had to cut that in half. She just talked forever. She
babbles on and on. Yeah.
So let's talk to Joe Iraqi in the street, shall we?
Let him come and see democracy, this man says. Can he come among the people without security, adds his friends? He can't. He was only here for 2 hours.
Yes, some people are never happy.
What have been the benefits, he says? There's no progress or development. If Bush is a real man, he says, let him announce his visit.
Let him come and fight me with a scimitar.
He is responsible for the destruction in Iraq.
Well, like the people in Iraq are eating piles of stones for breakfast. Like they're supposed to care that George Bush came and waved a drumstick around at somebody.
Well, their traditional festival of the Eid began yesterday. It's kind of Iraqi Thanksgiving. This man is happy his daughters made it home in one piece.
Just before the holiday, 4 of them were kidnapped.
The current lack of security, a staple of the conversation. Thoughts about the U.S. president's visit.
Doesn't mean anything to me because he didn't come to see the Iraqis.
That's a good point.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the one good thing about living in war-torn Iraq is that the bar is set really low for what you're thankful for. I mean, it's any day you don't have internal injuries is a day that, any day you're not picking shrapnel out of your buttocks is
so
a...
When your four children have been released by their kidnappers unharmed, that's always a good thing.
Then you're ahead of the curve.
Yep, so that's Iraqi Thanksgiving, which is the festival of the Eid.
Yeah, all right.
Eid is. That's today's Battle Watch.
There's your Battle Watch for Friday, the day after Thanksgiving on the Rick Emerson Show.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love a winner. And we have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
The album John Lennon signed for his killer is for sale. The former Beatles signed a copy of Double Fantasy for Michael David Chapman just 5 hours before Chapman shot and killed the singer December 8th, 1980. Wow, so long ago. Outside Lennon's Manhattan home, according to the website selling the album, the cover and dust jacket contain Chapman's forensically enhanced fingerprints. The album was found in a flower planter near the building where Lennon was shot and used as evidence against Chapman.
Dear creepy guy, lots of love, John.
It was sold 4 years ago for $460,000.
Dear guy who stared at me really oddly the entire time I was signing this and kept muttering to himself.
Well, first of all, who would spend $460,000 for it? And then who is this loser that's like trying to turn it around?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, if I had it, I'd probably sell it just because I...
This is momentsintime.com.
Well, because like, what am I going to do? Keep it? I mean,
yeah,
what am I going to have
like
it around the house?
It's a vibe thing to have. Hey, kids, check this out. And then he shot him in the back for no reason. Isn't that cool?
Seriously.
Ovaltine rocks.
It's not really a thing I just want to have sitting around the apartment. So, yeah, I like the forensically enhanced fingerprints, too. So,
well, who sold it? How did it get into the private market?
Because I'd always heard it was the guy, the doorman at the... I might be wrong. The doorman at the Dakota, I'd always heard. Because he signed it, was like an hour before, right? Because
Lennon like 5 hours. It was earlier in the afternoon.
Yeah, so Lennon signed it. Chapman, whatever, went off and, I don't know, listened to his dog talk to him or, you know, whatever, and then came back and stuck it in the flower pot. And I had heard, I might be wrong, I'd heard that he'd come back, still carrying it, stuck it in the flower pot, you know, so he could have, like, both hands ready, you know, so he could, just Lennon was armed with, you know, his eyeglasses, so he had to be really ready to take him down, and, you know, and then just shot him. So I guess the doorman had picked it up, and maybe not. I don't know.
You might be right. I'm not sure.
I got nothing. I don't know. Maybe.
My thing is, I don't think that guy's name should ever be mentioned in public.
See, this Mark David Chapman. This is
the guy
shall not be named.
The guy, you know, he killed
Let's
him.
Just call him Voldemort.
Whatever. Just no name. Just the guy, the crazed fan.
I was just talking to somebody. We'll bring this up when we get back. I was just talking to somebody about this the other day, and I have an observation I'll make about that when we get back. We're here with Peter Carlin, TV critic for the Oregonian. Let's see, what we got next hour. We got today's top five coming up later on in the show. Top five songs with money in the title, and we'll talk about the people out there doing their shopping and whatnot today. And then Peter Carlin's got musical virtuosity to share with us.
Yeah, I've got some product to move.
All right, it's all in the way. It's a Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. It's the day after Thanksgiving. We'll be back.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
201, Tim Riley with the news, brought to you by your friend in the diamond business, the Shane Company, on the western quarter of Highway 217 and Shoals Ferry Road. Open Monday through Friday till 8, Saturday and Sunday till 5, or online at shaneco.com. The federal No Child Left Behind law is leaving children behind in Oregon. Of the 13 charter schools subject to review this year, 6 did not show that their students were making adequate progress. Dignity Village near PDX has about 80 homeless people living there. It's a collection of makeshift shelters. It's a rare social experiment. With few government-sanctioned villages for the homeless in the country, it's a model for all to see. It has its own government, and it operates as a non-profit corporation. A monument will go up to for the victims of Roman Catholic Church sex abuse. More than 50 men say they were molested by the same priest in New Jersey, James Handley. Friends of the alleged victims hope the monument will have a healing process. A Clackamas, Oregon man who was a friend of the alleged victim recently committed suicide. This fellow commissioned the 400-pound monument. He's not around to see it, sadly. Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon. Scattered showers, snow level at 700 feet. Cloudy tonight, fog tomorrow. Tim Riley, KOTK News.